You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to share with you this evening, Pastor, you know, about, I think last Wednesday he got off onto something else. But he was talking about our identity in Christ. And he really said one thing that really just ministered to me, went off in me. And you know, not to be negative to the church, but if there is one single thing, one flaw that you could just, the root, I guess, of the church. And Pastor said this, and it just, because it come out of Scripture, and I just was like, wow, that's good. And I mean, it's bad. But it's the revelation knowledge that we can build on and change. It's that he said that, and he didn't say this way, but this is what he said, the spirit of what he said, that the single thing of the church is simply one thing. The flaw of the church is simply one thing, not doing the Word. Y'all remember him saying that? It's just that's the problem. We're just not doing the Word. We've got to become doers of the Word, not hearers only. And so if we'll just begin to do the Word, everything else will fall into place. Everything else, we'll see the things that God wants us to see, that He can said that we can see, and we can do the things that God said we can do. If we'll just be bold and do what God said we can do, just be obedient to the Word of God. But I want to kind of spring from all the things that He said. And of course, I don't know if you've been coming. I believe too that people come on Wednesday, they're hungry. They want a little bit more meat. They want some. They don't just want, you know, little milk. They want some meat. They want to grow up. And so I want to grow up. How about you? I want to grow up in the things of God. I truly believe this, church, listen to me very carefully, because it's because we're not doing. But I believe that God wants to call us so much higher, has called us so much higher than we've been living. I truly believe that. I think sometimes we think that God is, first of all, let me say this. If you ever get any teaching or can get your hands on some teachings on covenant, you need to get it. You need to understand about covenant. You need to understand your covenant. Because listen to me, do you know that every man of God in the Bible who done anything great for God had one thing in common?
Right.
If you'll go through the Scripture, they had all had one thing in common. Different personalities, different. They had all this different stuff that was different. But one thing was the same. They knew their covenant.
That's right.
What does that mean? It's foreign to us, that word covenant. We don't use it today a lot. You know, use it in the businesses, and I guess you in marriage is about the greatest thing that we can, you know, that we can apply that to. But I'm not teaching on covenant, but I'm just letting you know that if we're going to understand our identity in Christ, you got to know your covenant. Knowing the covenant means Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. What is it? Old promises, New promises. Just understanding the promises. Boiled down, this is simply what it means. Just knowing the promises of God. Knowing what your rights and your inheritance in His kingdom. Knowing what's entitled to you. Knowing what's yours. And going out and possessing it. And being bold about it. The violent take it by force. We're not letting Satan steal it from us. Getting passionate about what God said we can have. And, you know, we're going to do something in a minute. And it's going to sound like it's long and all this. But you know what? I'm telling you, we need to stand in the mirrors or just confess the Word of God. I think, listen to me, Pastor Rance also came. And this is what made me, I knew God wanted me to teach on this. Because Pastor had been teaching on identity and I was getting stirred up. And then Pastor Rance comes. And how many of you here Sunday? Here Sunday was good, wasn't it? Very good. Do y'all remember the three things he said? That actually, to build a on fire relationship with God. How many of you remember the three things he said? What's the first one?
Praise.
Good. Listen to me, church. If you can't remember what was taught, how can you do what was taught? So it's important we know what the messages we're hearing every Sunday, every Wednesday, everything. Pastors, listen, an awesome anointed pastor, anointed word. It's critical that we take notes, write it down, listen to tape, something that a message challenged you, stirred you, gave you some revelation, you know, insight. You need to grab a hold of that tape. Meditate on that word. We need to get really passionate about the word, what it boils down to.
Amen.
Get passionate about the word. Get passionate. Listen to it in a car. Listen to it. I mean, when you got spare time on your break, when you're on break, read the word of God. How many of us do that? How many of us are really passionate about? You read Psalms 119. It's basically filled with just the word, the word, the word, the word. Your word is life. and health to all my flesh. Your word is sweet, like the honeycomb. I mean, it's just talking about the word, what the word can do for you, how the word can bless you and help you and heal you and make you better. And I mean, it's just, it all boils down to the word. How passionate are we about the word of God? We will not see our identity fulfilled if we don't get really passionate about God's word. Prayer, big key. That's why I was bringing this message, or what Rance taught, because I thought it's very important. What I'm fixing to teach on is that you got to pray, develop a prayer life, spend time with God. The reason why a lot of our lives are dry and we feel empty and we just feel like, oh man, I'm just living life and it's just really no fire there. It's because no prayer, no power. I mean, no prayer, no power. More prayer, more power. Lots of prayer, lots of power. Isn't that cool? We just need to pray. Develop a prayer life with God. Spend time with God. Next thing, he talks about meditating on the Word of God. Meditating. How much time do you spend meditating on God's Word? Thinking about God's Word. Maybe it's something you're battling. Maybe it's something you're going through in your life. Maybe it's something you just want to get a deeper revelation. You just want to get it. You know? I think a lot of times we just surface the Word. It's in here. And of course, it goes back to Mark 4, right? When the sower sows the Word. Some landed on stony and all that. It's just shallow. It doesn't really get in us. We know it. Some of us can probably even quote lots of Scripture. But church, listen to me. The devil can quote Scripture. He knows Scripture. He knows. I guarantee you the devil knows more Scripture than anyone in this building. Amen. He knows more Scripture. Amen. It's not about knowing Scripture. It's not about just getting, you know, memorizing. It's about meditating on the Word of God. Meditate, word means to muse. It means to speak it. So that what's the purpose of meditation? So you can become it. Become the Word. It just gets in you. And it makes you bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Didn't say they become bold. Didn't say that they can be bold. It simply says about you, this is your identity. Are you righteous? I'm righteous. You righteous? The righteousness of God. Then if I'm righteous, the Bible says they are bold. So if I'm going to be bold, then I'm going to have to understand. I'm going to have to get this in me. I'm going to have to begin to activate boldness. I'm going to have to start stepping out and doing bold things. In order to have something that you've never possessed before, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and step out in faith. Every person in the Bible, whoever received anything from God, stepped out in faith. They got out of their comfort zone, their element, their area of that they were familiar with. You got to get out of familiarity and get out into faith. Step out and do something you've never done before. But the problem is, I think a lot of times we're scared we're going to fail, right? We're scared we're going to miss it. Guys, we all miss it. I miss it every day sometimes. And sometimes I've jumped out there in faith and I missed it. I say that, it sounds like that's a contradiction, because when you're in faith, it's going to happen. But I'm saying, I thought I was in faith, I've done something, and it wasn't, and I had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, well, you know what, I messed up, kind of made me look silly, it's okay. But listen to me, if we never get out there and do anything, we'll never receive anything, we'll never see anything. If we never lay hands on the sick, nobody will ever get healed. If we never go out and minister to anybody, nobody ever gets saved. We have to just begin to activate, step out in faith. Step out in our identity. The word identity, I'm not going to complete this. It's so much. It's so good. I've been meditating on this a long time. The word identity, listen to this. I'm going to give you a lot of definitions because I really think we need to make it simple. Let's not make it complicated. I'm not here to impress you with, you know, bunches. I like studying the Word of God. I like breaking it down so I can get it and understand it and it gets in me. The word identity means the state or fact of being the same. The same as what? God. In most churches, if you were to tell them, I'm the same as God, I'm equal with God, that's blasphemy. Blasphemy. Listen to me, what happened to Lucifer when he thought he was over, or he was God? Cast down from heaven. Nobody's saying that we're above God. I'm not saying that I am God. I'm saying I'm equal with God. I'm like God. We have to go back to Genesis. We're going to go there in a minute. But I want to make some confessions because, you know, maybe some of you had a bad day. I'm going to challenge you to do this because I want to make sure we get this out of the way. Because I mean, not out of the way, like get it over with. But I want to get this. I want you to do this. I want to challenge you. Make you a list. Find out what God says about you. Find out where it is written. And what Pastor, you know, where Pastor was teaching on the foundation. Find out where it is written of you, where it says of you. We're going to list about 47 right now, 48 scriptures where it says that the I am scriptures. I am. I am. You can quote. You can actually confess. I am. I am. I am. See, that is your identity. When you say I am, you're saying this is me. This is who I am. I am this person. I'm not going to be. I'm not working to be that. I am this. And when we get a revelation, see, listen to me. Some of you say, well, yes, I confess that, but I don't believe it. Okay, that's fine. The power of confession. The Bible says in Romans, it talks about you need to confess unto what you're believing. I may not always believe everything I'm confessing, but when I begin to continue to confess it, listen to me, what you constantly hear all the time is what you believe.
That's right.
What you constantly hear in your ears all the time is what you will believe. What you believe today is because of what you've heard yesterday. Amen. Not literally yesterday, but in the past. The cultivating of the hearing things. Maybe you were told you're a failure all your life. Your parents, this is where parenting is very critical. Do not ever talk bad about your kids. Do not ever say they are. You are. You are a brat. You are spoiled. You see, do you understand the power of what you just said? You are confessing, you are decreeing, you are declaring, you are establishing them to be that. And God says, no, that's not how God operates. God calls things that be not as though they were or are. And so we've got to do the same thing over our lives. We have got to say, look, I am not this. I'm not acting like this, but I confess this. And then I confess it today, and I confess it tomorrow, and I confess it. Oh, I'm getting it. I can keep confessing it, and I keep confessing it, and I keep, but it's getting kind of boring. No, see, listen, I'm getting something here. I keep confessing. And then I begin to start to believe it. And when I believe it, the Bible says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And when you speak that word, when you believe it, oh, that's when things happen. That's where we miss it. We think, well, I confessed it. What happened? You didn't believe it. Okay, but how do I believe it? Keep confessing it. Keep decreeing it. Keep declaring it. Job 20, well, I'm just flowing here. In Job 22:28, the Bible says this, listen. Good stuff. I will decree a thing, or you can decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and light shall shine upon your ways. Listen to what he just said. I will. How do you decree things? How does a king decree things? With his mouth. I will decree, say a thing, and it will be established. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? No. Right here. He created with his mouth. He said, let there be light. Let there. Because what he was saying was more real to him. It was coming out of him. It wasn't something he just thought up and go, oh, that'd be nice. No, it was in him. It was in the image he had in himself. He created it. Do you understand that? The image of yourself that you see of yourself will be created. And the reason why you see yourself the way you see yourself today is because of what you've been hearing, what you've been believing. So you've got to change this. You've got to get the right, you got to say the right things. Okay, let's just go this. I want you to repeat after me. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. When you begin to confess this and you believe this, stir you up. You do this every day, and I guarantee you won't be depressed and in economy and I'm not going to make it and everything's just, no. You start saying stuff like this every day, and it just changes you. And that's what God wants. He wants us to get disciplined enough to confess God's word and confess unto what he says we can have. There's some things I just don't have to confess. Healing, I believe in healing. I am probably, and of course, I'm working a lot of areas of my life that I'm, you know, trying to get better at. And it, the same way it takes to believe for healing, it takes the same for everything else. But a lot of times we just have those struggles, mental things and things we, you know, but I'm so convinced about healing. When I lay hands on the sick, I expect them to be healed. I expect why? Jesus expected them to be healed. See, as he is, so am as he who? Jesus is, so am I. So am I in this world. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can do what Jesus did? Let me ask you something. Oh, gosh. Hallelujah. You remember Moses? Check this out. This is interesting. Moses, old covenant. Covenant. See, it all boils down to covenant. Do you know your covenant? Moses was up on the mountain praying, right? That's right before, after he got the Ten Commandments. The people down there, down the mountain, were getting real frustrated and all. They were getting all wild. Aaron, too. They created this molten image of a calf. And they said, let us worship it. Actually, God told Moses, hey, God's getting hot here. He said, the people down there are making this molten calf, an image, and they're worshiping and sacrificing to it. You better go down there and take care of it. You know what? God got so mad, so angry. Do you know what he said he was going to do? Wipe them off the face of the earth. Listen, guys, listen to this. He repented that he ever made them. He said, I wish I would never made them. Watch this. I'm going to show you covenant. I'm going to show you knowing your identity. Moses, God's man of faith, has the audacity to look God in the face and say, you need to repent. How many of you have ever told God to repent before? You tell your wife to repent, your husband, or you better repent, the old thing, right? How many of you have ever told God to repent? Why could he do that? He knew his relationship with his God. He knew that that wasn't God's heart. He knew that that wasn't what God promised. And he actually told God. He got on to God. Read it. He got on to God and said, you need to repent of the... And God repented of the evil. The Bible says he repented of the evil that he had said. Wow. That's amazing. How could one man do that? Because he knew his covenant. He knew his God. He knew what God had promised. That wasn't what God promised. He knew God was kind of, in a sense... Don't take what I'm saying. He was kind of getting flaky, in a sense. He was angry. And he said, repent, God. You need to repent of that. You need to change your mind on that deal. Because that's not God. That's not right. That's not what you promised. How are we going to look if you created these people and then you're just going to destroy them? Moses talked to him like that because of covenant. Because he knew his identity in God. How many of you could just go up to somebody, you know, that's... Just lay hands on them and just, I mean, guys, listen to me. I'm not nobody special or any of that. There's some things that I got a hold of and there's some things I'm still growing in. But, man, I tell you what, y'all know Marty. Marty and, I just went blank. Who? No, our members here. Marty and Jan. Right. Is that right? Jane. Marty and Jane worked at Walmart when I was working at Walmart. Jane was, I'm sorry, not Marty. Jane was. And I didn't know her. She was language working shoes and tarot. And I'm in tarot, and I mean, you know, I'm a little fireball, you know, and I just lay hands on anything. Because that's what, you know, matter of fact, when I first got saved, God told me two things. Lay hands on people and get teaching. And I began to do those things. And I just started laying hands on anybody. Anybody who would ask me to lay hands on them, I'd do it. Because I just believed that's what God told me. And I did it. And so... I was going home one day, working. I would go to work, guys, sometimes 4 in the morning and get off at 4 or 5 in the afternoon because, if you know anybody, you know, the manager in Terrell, he just would work you, man, just work you. And so I'm tired and I'm ready to go home. And Jane comes to me. I don't even know her really well. I don't know her at all. I think she probably knew you maybe more than she knew, you know, than I knew her. And so she comes up to me and she says, or I don't know, were you there too? With me, she might have asked you if I would pray for Marty, and he had cancer spots on his brain or something. It was how many? Many brain tumors on his head, and so Jane asked her if I would pray, and so she came and got me, and I went, and I'm ready to go home. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm ready to go home. I'm tired. I don't want to be praying for nobody. I mean, I remember thinking that. I thought, man, that's pretty selfish, and I was like, I'm ready to go home. And then they came and got me, and she's standing, they're sitting over there on the at the end, like the shoes where you try on the shoes. You know, there's like a mirror and stuff. So there's a bench, and they're sitting down there. Marty's sitting down, and Jane's there, and Melissa, I think, or maybe me and Melissa walked up, and I was just assess the situation, what's going on, going to go to the doctor tomorrow, going to find out, you know, the brain tumors and stuff. And I just, I mean, I'm ready to go home. I just said, you know what? And I wasn't rude. Don't get me wrong. Don't take that. I wasn't rude. But I just said, okay. I said, well, I'm just going to lay my hands on you, and I believe when I lay my hands on you, the tumor, the cancer is going to go. And I said, okay, in Jesus' name, be healed. I command that cancer to go. Went about my business. Now, who's the healer? Jesus, not me. I just did my part. By faith, bold, because the righteous are bold as a lion. The Bible says you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Not maybe, might, if the conditions are right, if you're living right. It didn't say any of that stuff. It just said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I went about my business. You know, the next day, I think they get the report. No traces of cancer in his head. And his life, I mean, I'm just blessed to be a part of what gets that, because I know they're going to church here, and they're really on fire and excited about God. I'm thinking, yes, I had a part in that. Thank God that God would use me that way. And so my point is, guys, this is me. God wants us to be bold. He wants us to know our covenant. He wants us to know that you can lay hands on the sick. You can cast out devils. You can do what God said you can do. You can have what God said you can have. Why? Because of covenant. Listen to me very carefully. Going back to covenant. Can't help it. It's just every man of God in the Bible, every man who's going to believe, do anything great for God, has got an understanding of covenant, identity, knowing who they are. But knowing our identity in God is critical. You've got to know that. I had another point and just went. So that's why. Let's say this with me. Say this with me, okay? We're going to make confessions of our identity. This is who you are. You need to confess this every day. You need to declare it if you don't believe it. Ready? Here it goes. Say this with me. I am saved. I am born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from premature death. I'm redeemed from sin. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm free to serve God. I'm free to praise God. I'm free to worship God. I'm free to live like God. I'm healed in my body. I'm healed in my mind. I am bold as a lion. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I am a minister of reconciliation. I'm anointed to preach. I'm anointed to bring deliverance. I am holy because He is holy. I am overflowing financially because I give. I am who God says I am. I am not who the world says I am. I am not who the devil says I am. I am defined by God and His Word. I'm a soul winner, not a soul loser. I'm a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. I'm a winner, not a loser. I'm a success, not a failure. I'm victorious, not defeated. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm hungry for God. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm the righteousness of God. I am forgiven. I'm an overcomer. I am anointed. I'm anointed to lay hands on the sick. And they recover. I'm anointed to cast out devils. I'm anointed to stop storms. I'm anointed to resist the devil. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I have power to tread upon serpents. I have power to do miracles. I am who God says I am. And I can do what God says I can do. I'm telling you right now, you wake up every morning and you confess that, I'm telling you, there's no way you're going to have a bad day. Because you're saying and reinforcing what God said about you. Listen, church, the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Is He not? Jesus can only do for you what you confess Him to do. A lot of the things we have in our lives is because we're not confessing. The things that we want out of our lives, or the things we're just not really excited about, it's because we're not confessing them. Now, certainly, guys, it's not all about confession. You've got to do some things. But if you just not have no desire to do, then begin to confess. And when you confess, you'll confess unto that thing, and you'll have the strength, the power, the might. Why? Because what did Jesus say? My words are spirit and they are life. So when you speak God's word, you're speaking life, and you're creating, and God begins to strengthen you, and because you're reinforcing what God said. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that in Malachi, it talks about how, everybody uses about tithing and stuff, but it says that the people were saying that it's useless to serve God. You know, it's useless because He's not going to do anything. There's no benefits to serving God. And it goes on to say, and the righteous said, see, the righteous said something. The Bible says the righteous begin to encourage one another with what? With the truth, with the word. And the Bible says, and a book of remembrance, look, I love this, a book of remembrance was written in heaven. God loves when you talk right. He loves when you say the right things. He doesn't like, He's not too pleased when you say the wrong things. Why? He's mad at you? No. He just can't help you. When you say what the devil says, He can't help you. When you reinforce and say what he says, then He can help you. And I'm not talking here about confession, but I'm talking here about your identity. If we're going to get our identity, we've got to confess the word. We've got to know what our covenant rights are as a Christian. I tell you what, I haven't even hardly any scripture. Okay, Psalms 8. Watch this, guys. Your identity. I'm telling you, we need to come higher. We need to come higher in our thinking. Go to Psalms 8. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 8. Psalm 8. I love this. Verse 3. Say amen when you're there. I am who God says I am. Verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, listen, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. You know what that word mindful means? Simply means, look, this is what it says. What is man that your mind is full of him? You know, do you know you're full of God? You are in God's thoughts? Well, what do you mean? How much does God think about me? Well, the Bible tells us that. Wouldn't you like to know how much God's thinking about you? Okay. Well, let's look at it. Let's see how much God is thinking about us. Where's it at? Okay, here it is. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to me. Get the scriptures here. Listen to what the word says. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for, what does it say? Y'all know it? Okay, most of you should quote this. You should be able to know this. Right? For I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good. Listen to what his thoughts are. Thoughts of good and not of evil. This is what God's thinking about us. Well, I just feel like God's mad at me sometimes. God's just mad at me. No, listen to me. God's not thinking any of those thoughts. That's the devil putting those thoughts in you to make you think those thoughts so that you condemn yourself so that you don't ever receive from God. And so he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God's telling you he knows his thoughts, what he's thinking about you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you hope in a future. To give you a hope in a future. This is what God's thinking about you. Well, how much does God think about me? How much time does God spend? How many thoughts are flowing out of the mind of God? Well, okay, let's see. Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18. Let me turn there real quick. Psalms 139. This is your identity, guys. Your identity is in God. We're getting to this point here about your identity. Psalms 139, verse 17 says this, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them? How many thoughts are they, Lord? Okay. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Wow. How many of you can count the grains of sand that are out there? And all the beaches and everywhere there's sand. God says, I think and my thoughts toward you are as numerous as the sand. I think, constantly think about you. You're on my mind all the time. This is your identity, is that you have a heavenly Father who is very passionate about you, who is constantly thinking about you. And let me ask you a really good question here. How much do you think about God? How much time do you spend out of your day thinking about God? Thinking about what He says about you. Thinking about what His Word, thinking about what He's done for you. Giving thanks for all the things that He's done for you. How many of you just, you're working and you just stop and, you know, just a little thought comes up. Man, I just worship You. Develop a habit of, that's why the Bible says pray without what? Ceasing. That's what it means. It doesn't mean constantly 24 hours a day, you know, No, it's saying live a prayer life, have a thankful life, serve God, and just be thankful and think about Him. The Bible says, great peace have they whose mind or thoughts are stayed on God. You want peace in your life? Think on God all the time. If you, let's think about this. If I'm thinking on God all the time, then I don't have time for sin. I don't have time for unrighteousness. I don't have time for foolishness and drama and all. I'm thinking on God. I'm looking at Him and His ways and who He is and who I am in Him, and we're one, and how He loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. And He died and gave His life for Son for me, and how I'm blessed and how He delivered me from this thing and that thing and what He's doing to my family and my marriage. And God, I'm just thinking about You. All the time we need to be doing this. Is it done? Can it be done? Oh, absolutely. I'm checking sometimes, and of course I do checking everything. I'm the manager. I just do everything, and I'm just constantly thinking about God. Oh God, and of course I'm playing Christian music. All right, we play Christian music in our business, and so we got just the music playing. I'm just singing the songs. See, you can think about God 24/7. You can think about God all the time. What does the Bible say? Meditate on the Word day and night. So you can. What is it? How are you going to meditate on the Word if you don't think about it? You got to think about something, right? You can meditate on the Word day and night. He wouldn't have said it. If we couldn't do it, He wouldn't have said it. It just constantly means just think about God. Think about God. Get our identity. Listen to me, guys. There was a story of a man who lived up in the mountains. He lived up in the mountains and all alone. In a process of time, this man died. His family came from far away. Because, he lived way out in the mountains, out in the middle of nowhere. They came and collected his valuables and his things. Well, while the family was there gathering his things, there was a man that walked up, and it was the friend of this man, a very close friend of this man who had died. And after the family had gathered all the belongings, all the things, and all the things they thought that was keepable, salvageable, they can use, you know, memories and all the things that they thought was good, they told the man, turned to the man and said, "You can have whatever's in this house. It's yours." We grabbed everything we need and we thought was good and we could use. So it's yours. And so the man said, "Okay." Well, they drove away. So the man walks inside, goes by the table. Right next to the table, there's some boards that he picked up, threw the boards off. Inside this cubbyhole down underneath the floor was this, like a treasure chest, like a chest that this man kept all his valuables, all his